Before we get into today's episode, I want to share a timely free resource with you. When you look at the headlines, war, instability, constant talk about the end times, it's easy to feel anxious or unsure what to think. But the Bible offers a better way. Our short guide, Watchful, Not Worried, End Times, the Second Coming, and How to Read the News with Biblical Hope, will help you understand what Scripture really says about the end times, so you can live with clarity, hope, and confidence instead of fear. You'll discover how to read the news through the lens of Scripture, avoid speculation, and stay grounded in God's bigger story. Download your free copy today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, at kitchen tables or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Happy New Year. Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show. I am delighted to be joined by Phil Knox, an Evangelism and Missiology Senior Specialist at the Evangelical Alliance. Phil is also the author of two books, Storybearer and most recently, The Best of Friends. Well, one of the things Lewis talks about as well is about friendship being selective. You know, to say these are my friends implies those are not. And we talked a little bit about the unapologetic on the Unapologetic podcast about, you know, is it uncomfortable that Jesus picks three friends over and above some of the other friends that are good friends, but not great friends? And I guess one of my questions is the kind of, to say these are my friends implies those are not. Does that potentially go against the Christian ethic to like love everyone equally, or is that an important element of friendship, do you think, Phil?
Yeah, I think we're called to love everyone equally, and I think Jesus was the most radically inclusive human who ever lived, because he treated everyone with compassion and love and inclusion. But he also then chose to invest his time disproportionately and exclusively. And I think the other thing that's really interesting is, even in terms of our kind of rhetoric and in the vernacular of what, when we say my friend, that covers everything from the taxi driver who I saw, you know, I got out of the taxi last Wednesday and said, thanks very much, my friend. Probably I'll never see him again. You know, how many Uber drivers are there in Birmingham? Right. To, My wife, my God, my brother, my sister, who I know really well, and I still call my friend. And so I think, first of all, it covers all those things. I think we can be liberal with the word my friend. But I think what Lewis is getting at is that when we include people at the various levels and layers and depths of friendship, there is a necessary exclusion that happens. And there is something also that happens with friendship that we alluded to in that quote about kind of the, where he says, no one has any claim on or any other responsibility for another. That there's a kind of sense in which you choose, when you invite someone into your inner circle, you are choosing them, and you could shut the door on them. Whereas, you know, the blood is thicker than water. You choose your friends, you don't choose your family. There are necessary lines that I've chosen. But the beauty of friendship is that when Adam, my best mate, calls me his friend, the value of that bestows upon me, and the other way around, creates something beautiful, magical, God-ordained, and powerful, that just creates such value to this relationship. And that's why it's so different to the other loves that we find, and that that are kind of contractual, like marriage, or genetic, like family.
Phil, there's a line in this book, in The Four Loves, where Lewis says, "Friendship is very rarely the image under which scripture represents the love between God and man. Affection is taken as the image where God is represented as our father. Eros, when Christ is represented as the bridegroom of the church." Now, you refer to God as your best friend in your book. I mean, your book is called The Best of Friends. So I'm obviously not asking you to disagree with the great C.S. Lewis, but presumably you think that there is enough scriptural precedent to speak of God as our friend. Yeah. So how do you sort of justify God as friend there then, when Lewis seems to suggest that it's rarely the image under which scripture represents the love between God and man?
Yeah, I mean, my first qualification would be that Lewis doesn't say friendship is never the image. So friendship is rarely the image is, yeah, it's absolutely. But we hold all these things in tension, I think. And so A.W. Tozer says, what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about it. And it's right, you know, it's right that in some ways it's right that the primary image that God gives us isn't that of a friend. You know, actually, I think because if you do get that as the primary image, God becomes more Lord Almighty than he does Almighty. And we hold we have to hold the intimacy of God that we have with God, with the fear of God, that with God who is full of truth, full of grace, he's our judge, he's our creator. We have to have the awe and the fear of God. That's such an important thing. And maybe if you're going to choose, well, maybe there's that. But at the same time, you know, as we looked at the previous podcast, when in that beautiful image of Aslan stooping down to Shasta, there is this invitation into relationship. And then when we view the relationships that the Bible gives us around who God is, we do get father, we do get bridegroom, but we also do get friend. And friend isn't just, it's not just a one-off. Throughout scripture, we get this image. So Moses has this moment where he speaks to God face to face, as if to a friend, and we see the fulfillment of that in that we all have that access. And when Paul talks about we through unveiled faces, there's a fulfillment of our friendship with God because we have the opportunity to talk face to face, as Moses did. Then we have kind of the beautiful bit in Proverbs where it says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, which would be, you know, for me, a messianic prophecy of saying there's a friend coming in Jesus. And then the final example, I feel like I'm a lawyer preparing an argument, but what we get in John 15 is this moment where Jesus says to his disciples, "I have called you friends." And this would have been a kind of mic drop moment for the disciples, where because there's no other record in the whole of, you know, first century history of a rabbi calling his disciples friends, but it clearly is a lens through which Jesus wants us as his followers, as his disciples, to view him. So let's hold all those things in tension. But friendship is clearly a paradigm throughout scripture, I think, through which God wants us to view him.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
If you've ever struggled to fully understand the New Testament or explain your faith with confidence, you're not alone. That's exactly why Premier Insight exists and why your support matters right now. When you give today, we'll send you a special thank you gift, the New Testament You Never Knew Bible Study Guide by N.T. Wright. It will help you understand the context, meaning, and story of Scripture more clearly. And your support helps others do the same through programs like this. So please give your best gift today and request your copy. Just go to premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. Thank you for helping people engage God's word with wisdom and understanding.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, the kitchen tables or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Lewis describes friendship as the most spiritual of loves. Why do you think he does that, Phil?
Possibly there's a bit of because we talked a bit about choice. So I think agency is important in following Jesus. And I think, you know, goodness me, there's another apologetic podcast, isn't there, about whether we actually have choice and all that kind of stuff. But certainly at the heart of friendship is this fact that we choose. A bit back to that quote of, you know, it's the least jealous of loves. It's this kind of, you know, people, you know, to say these are friends implies those are not. Those quotes clearly show that for Lewis, choice in friendship is really important. And I think probably his theology of whether people choose or not to follow Jesus. So there's a spirituality there. I think there's also something, I think we recognize that the values in friendship that make a really good relationship and probably, you know, those do apply to familial relationships, but they probably also maybe most apply to friendship because of the amount of intentionality that is required that would presumably be reflected in Lewis's relationship with God. As is in our human relationship with our relationship with God, in terms of the importance of time, presence, vulnerability, those kind of values that we need to make sure we invest in to maintain really good and healthy friendships. So I think probably all of those things combined to the kind of for him to say actually there's a real spirituality about friendship that goes beyond family, or at least looks at our relationship with God through a slightly different lens than as he highlights the Father and the Bridegroom.
I mean, I wonder as well whether perhaps he's referring to Christian relationships being particularly spiritual in their nature. So, you know, obviously lots of us will become friends by chance. We work together, we go to the same schools, you know, the same university, whatever. But he seems to imply that perhaps for Christians, there's something sort of greater going on. So I'm quoting here from The Four Loves. He says, a secret master of the ceremonies has been at work. And then he sort of goes on to say that effectively God says to this friendship, you have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another. Do you think Lewis is perhaps implying that Christian friendships are perhaps greater than non-Christian friendships? I mean, we know that Lewis had Christian friends, he had non-Christian friends, that, you know, he had the whole sort of plethora of friendships. What do you think is going on there, Phil?
Yeah, I would probably go as far as, if he does mean that, I think I'd probably agree. Because I think how can you be the best of friends without knowing the best of friends? So surely the best way to be the best friend we can be is by having a relational God lives inside, to live inside us. Yeah, I think there's something, the difference between not being a Christian and being a Christian is so powerful that actually it does make you a better friend, or at least it should. The other thing he's saying there, which I think is absolutely beautiful, and I do agree with, is that God is somehow the secret master of ceremonies at work, getting people together. I really do think God does that. I really do think, I think some of the ways that I've met some of the people in my life, totally think God was behind kind of some kind of puppeteering of going, Phil is going to blatantly get on with Andy. I'm going to make that happen. You know, that is going to be a real, you know, and then watching the sparks fly. And, you know, he sat there with the angels rubbing his hands together. I told you, boys. You know, I think there is something about that. God as the great connector, bringing people together. And I think there is something about the divine spark that ignites in us when we know Jesus, which does bring out in us the best of friends.
I mean, does that sort of raise the question of what our friendships should look like? I know, you know, we've talked again in a previous podcast, in the Unapologetic podcast, about how friendship is so important for evangelism. Right. But I know that one of the issues is that a lot of Christians don't actually have non-Christian friends, and therefore, you know, how do you do evangelism in that context? But if Lewis is implying that, like, the Christian friendships are better, is he suggesting that we should have more Christian friendships? Or, I mean, what's going, you know, should we have, we obviously should have Christians, friends who aren't Christians. What do you think Lewis would think about all of that, Phil?
It's a good question, isn't it? I think it also depends. Would Lewis maybe have said, you know, his golden friends are all Christians? Maybe, don't know. You know, is it when he talks about his silver friendships, maybe he's talking about those in the wider circles? I think for me, probably when I think about my inner circle, all of my inner circle of kind of the three or four people who I spend the most time with are Christians. If one of them chose not to follow Jesus anymore, I think they'd probably stay in the inner circle. But it does, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Because I think there's something about sharing the most important thing in your life with the most important people in your life. It's going to be more difficult, not necessarily prohibitive. It's just more difficult if you have someone who just doesn't understand that bit about you. And so have there been moments where people have almost, you know, almost not been able to enter my inner circle and other Christians' inner circle because they just don't share that most important thing? Yeah, possibly and probably, I think I would say. And is there another level of depth of friendship that comes? If I think about my best mate, Adam, he didn't grow up in a Christian family. We became Christians through school. And he was my mate who I prayed for regularly. And at 21, he surrendered his life to Jesus, became a Christian, his life completely transformed. As a result of that, the depth of friendship that we have is way deeper than had he not decided at 21 to follow Jesus. Way deeper. Because there's also a shared sense of journey. And what better journey to go on with someone than the journey of transformation through responding to the gospel? So I do think that he might be alluding to that. Do I think you can't have golden friendships with people who have different faith to you? No. But do I think it helps? Yeah, I think it probably does.
Phil, what advice do you think Lewis would offer about friendship, other than obviously recommending The Best of Friends, your book?
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't think it's heresy to say that he would probably then, you know, obviously read The Best of Friends and then end up on a podcast talking about Phil Knox's other works. Maybe not. I think he would ask us to really prioritize it. And I think, you know, again, just reflecting with you today about the poverty of friendship in his world, you know, and then looking at, you know, I think it's worse. I really do. I think probably, you know, a few value it because few experience it. I think even fewer experience it now. And so I think C.S. Lewis had such a way with words and such a compelling vision of what society could be. He would really encourage and champion and inspire us to pursue deep friendship. And, you know, I think provides that framework, as we've talked about, for us to find the riches and the depths and have a good, robust theology and philosophy of friendship. But I think, you know, from all I've read of C.S. Lewis, he was able to pinpoint the important things in life and the priorities that we have. And so I'm not surprised that he has written about friendship in such a powerful and compelling way, identified it as a problem then, and sees it as such a big issue now. And so would exhort us and encourage us to go after this, not only with The Best of Friends, the King of Kings, but also to be the best of friends, small b, small f, to those around us and encourages in that.
Phil, thank you so much. And I would highly recommend reading The Best of Friends, Phil's brilliant book on this, perhaps alongside The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. But thank you so much for joining us today, Phil.
Thanks, Ruth. It's been brilliant.
Thank you for listening to this C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson, and wishing you a very happy new year. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com. where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And do register there for the chance to win a free book. That's premierunbelievable.com. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
If you follow Jesus, you're already doing God's work, not just on Sundays or in church, but in those emails and financial reports, at kitchen tables, or on the school run. I'm pastor and author Tom Nelson, and in my new podcast, God's Work, we're going to completely change how you think about your job. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Search God's Work with Tom Nelson on Premiere Plus, or wherever you get your podcasts.